Please turn with me now in your Bible to 1 John. It's toward the end of the New Testament, of course. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, and then 1 John, the book we commonly think of as John's first general epistle. It's not the Gospel of John. It's a letter, an epistle, and it's a general epistle. It's not like Paul's letter to a particular congregation, Paul's letter to the church in Rome, or Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. It's a general epistle of John directed to the church at large to be circulated among all the churches. This evening we begin a study in the what is commonly known as 1 John under the heading Joyful Assurance. How to know that you're a Christian. And over the course of the next few weeks we hope to address that question and others. What are the marks of true Christianity? How do you recognize that, or what is assurance of faith, and what do you look for in yourself and others, and so on. Our text this evening is from 1 John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. This is the word of God. That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we've seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Now, the reading of God's Word. Let's pray together. Father, it seems strangely inappropriate to be thinking about anything other than our brother David and sister Becky. But on this your day, we come to your word and trust that even in this hour, your word might be a source of comfort and help, assurance and strength for us and for Becky as well during this time. And so we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a difference between faith and assurance. Faith is trusting the Lord. Faith is trusting Jesus Christ. Faith is trusting in the promises of God. Assurance is knowing that you're trusting the Lord. Assurance is knowing that you're trusting Jesus. Assurance is knowing that you're trusting the promises of God. To put it another way, faith is of the essence of salvation. You can't be a Christian without faith. Faith is of the essence of salvation. But it is possible to have faith without assurance. That is, it's possible to be a Christian and not be sure that you're a Christian. It's possible to be going to heaven but not sure that you're going to heaven. It's possible to have faith without assurance. In fact, there are many who would argue that the best we can do is hope that we're going to heaven. Some would say it's presumption to go anything beyond hoping that we're going to be in heaven. I would invite you, if you'll keep this place marked and just turn with me over to chapter 5, verse 13. Here, John lays out for us the purpose of this particular little letter, this epistle. He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. So the purpose of this letter is to give assurance to those who already have faith. You remember in the Gospel of John, John says, I'm writing to you these things so that you might believe in the Son of God and have everlasting life. The Gospel of John was written so that we might have faith, and now John is writing to us as people who have faith that we might have assurance. And so it is possible to know that you have everlasting life. John says, I'm writing these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. It's possible to have that confidence, that assurance, or that certainty, that reassurance. And so it's with that in mind that we're going to be working our way through the 1 John with this understanding that this whole letter is written that those who have faith might also have assurance, that those who believe in Jesus might know that they're saved, that they belong to God, that they're going to heaven. What I want us to see together this evening is that eternal life has been revealed. John says that which was from the beginning. And when anything in the Bible starts off by saying that which is from the beginning, naturally you think of the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You think of the way the Bible itself begins. But you also perhaps think of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word. So before creation, before the heavens and the earth, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was life, and the life was the light of man. And so John, of course, is speaking of Jesus Christ. He's the eternal Word. He is with God, and he was God. He is the life of man. And so now when John writes that which was from the beginning, we know that he's speaking of Jesus Christ. He's speaking of the Word of life. He's speaking of eternal life. And he tells us that eternal life is not just an idea, a theory, or a concept. Some people believe that, and in fact, I heard it even said just yesterday that, you know, it doesn't hurt believing in God, because if it turns out after you die you're wrong, well, no harm done. As if it's just a theory, it's just an idea. Of course, among the Greeks of the first century, philosophy flourished, and the idea of ideas and thoughts was important. In fact, for many of the Greeks, ideas were central. Ideas were considered really real or truly real. Matter was considered a hindrance, a problem, the source of all our grief and troubles. But reality was the world of ideas. The Greeks wanted to live in the world of ideas. And in fact, that was the goal, to throw off this mortal body and to enter the world of the spirit, the world of the ideas. And yet John tells us, that which is from the beginning, that is the eternal Word of God, eternal life itself, is not just a concept, but is a person. That which is from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and have touched with our hands. He's talking about Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is himself life. Jesus is eternal life. He's saying, if you have Jesus, you have everlasting life. You've heard it said, well, I'll believe it when I see it. You hear people speak of the scientific method. I want proof. I want to be able to touch it and taste it and feel it. John is telling us here that eternal life has been made known. It has been revealed. It's something that John and the other apostles have seen in the person of Jesus. They've seen him. They've talked to him. They've touched him. They've heard him. John was writing to the church, the Christian church of the first century, that's been ravaged by the early forms of a movement that later became known as Gnosticism, from the Greek word gnosis, or knowledge. And Gnostics were people who claimed to be Christians. They used a lot of Christian language, a lot of Christian lingo. They infiltrated the Christian church, but as it turned out, their ideas were less Christian than they were Greek. And it was the Gnostics who believed in the secret knowledge, this higher knowledge that was only accessible to a few certain truly spiritual people. And it was as this movement, it wasn't so much Gnosticism at this point, but perhaps an earlier proto-Gnosticism. And it was as it became more evident that what these people believed was not the same as New Testament Christianity, those people began to leave the church. And those who stayed behind were shaken. They were rattled. We thought these people were believers, and turns out they're not. And so the next thought was, then how do I know I'm really a believer? If they thought they were Christians, they claim to be Christians, and they're not. We thought they were. How do I know if I'm really a believer? And so the church was shaken from this. They still had faith. You can't lose your faith. But they had lost their assurance, or something of their assurance. And so John is writing to assure, or we could say reassure, the Christian church. Eternal life is not just some philosophical concept or some spiritual idea known only by a few, but eternal life has been made known. It has been revealed to all of us in the person of Jesus, that the apostles could see and talk to and listen to and touch. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we heard, which we seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, The life was made manifest. Eternal life is not some hidden, it's an esoteric idea, but has been revealed, made known to everybody in the person of Jesus. And we've seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life. John says that we are able to swear as eyewitnesses to what we've seen. We've seen it ourselves. We've heard it ourselves. We've witnessed it ourselves. This can be known with certainty. What a comfort to a people who have been rattled, who have been shaken. Imagine how you must feel if so many others are speaking of a higher knowledge that you are not privy to be reassured, no, eternal life has come, and we have seen him, and we have known him, and we're telling you, we're testifying to you. You can benefit from our firsthand experience. You too can know for sure. You don't have to be left in the dark. You can know, you can understand, you can comprehend, you can be certain. John says, we've seen it and we testify to it and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. Jesus Christ has come from the Father. He is life itself, and he has come. He has made himself known in taking on flesh that we might know him. John says, that which we've seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. John is saying that you can benefit from his eyewitness testimony. You too can share in the fellowship that he has, that we can stand there with the same assurance and the confidence of the apostles. That's what he's saying. He says you can be one of us. There is no levels of spirituality as there is in Gnosticism. But he says, you too can be one with us, one with the apostles. You can benefit from what we saw, what we witnessed firsthand. You may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. John says, we have fellowship with God the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. And you can have fellowship with us, which means you can have fellowship with God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is life. This is everlasting life, to have fellowship with God. John is saying this eternal life has been revealed. It's been made known in the person of Jesus Christ so that you might have joyful assurance. This is how he concludes his introduction. He says, we're writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Now, the word joy is a very peculiar word in the Bible in this sense that, much like in the English, there's only one letter difference between the word our and the word your. And, of course, we don't have the original letter that John wrote. We have very reliable copies and copies of copies and copies of copies. And somewhere very, very early on, a mistake, a slip of the pen was made, so that in some of the copies it says, our joy may be complete, and in some it says, your joy may be complete. Well, now we have very, very reliable copies of the Bible. The Bible is far better documented and authenticated than any other ancient document. It's the most reliable book on the planet, and yet this is one of those rare places where there's a word that we're just not quite sure. Is it the word our, or is it the word your? Now, normally, first of all, they were so careful, knowing this to be the word of God, they were so careful how they transcribed it and how they copied it, and one would copy it, and another would read over it. And so these kind of errors are very, very rare. And normally, even when there is one, it's obvious. I mean, you recognize typos when you see them. But in this case, it happens to be one where, well, both are words and real words, and both are very possible. John could be saying, we're writing these things so that our joy might be complete. Yeah. Or he could be saying, we're writing these things that your joy might be complete. Either makes sense, either is possible. In either case, it's possible to have faith, to really be trusting the Lord, to really be trusting in Jesus Christ, to really be trusting in the promises of God. It's possible to have faith, but not the assurance of faith, not the fullness of faith, not the fullness of confidence, not the fullness of peace, not the fullness of joy that should come with faith. I mean, we all know Christians like that. people that we believe to be true Christians, but who at times worry, question their faith, question whether their faith is genuine. We believe them to be Christians. We see certain fruit, but they question themselves. These are the kind of people that John is addressing, people who have faith but who question their faith. They doubt where their faith is sincere. They doubt where their faith is genuine. They're not doubting Jesus. They're not doubting the Lord. They're doubting the qualities of their own faith. And so it is possible then to have Christian faith, but not all the joy and the peace and the confidence, the assurance that one would hope would normally come along with faith. But God wants you to have assurance. It's not presumptuous. It's not prideful. It's rather God's desire. He wants those who have faith to also have assurance. He wants you to have that peace. He wants you to have that joy. He wants you to have that reassurance. He wants you to have that blessing. As we saw, John is writing this letter so that those who believe in the name of the Son of God might know they have eternal life. It's not wrong to be certain. It's God's desire that those who have faith have a certainty, have a confidence, have a peace. It's God's desire not only that we have faith, but that we have assurance. And not only that we have assurance, but that we have joyful assurance. And that's what we hope to address then in the weeks to come, that it's possible through all sorts of circumstances. Certainly, John was writing to people who were shaken. It wasn't a happy time. All these people, they had taken as friends, these people they thought were brothers and sisters in the Lord, and they've left, and the people are shaken. I would say many of us tonight are shaken. Not every moment is a happy time. But there is a joy, nevertheless. There's a joy in the Lord. There's a peace. There's a confidence. There's assurance that is rightfully ours in Jesus Christ. If you have Jesus, you have everlasting life. And God wants us to know that and to be confident of that, to be assured of that, that eternal life is not something that we have to just hope for or guess about, but eternal life has been revealed. It has been made known to us in the person of Jesus Christ so that we can be certain and that we might have real, genuine, confident, joyful assurance. We can be certain and joyful in the person of Jesus Christ. Let's